Gracious Heavenly Father, we again come to Thee this day, thanking You for this opportunity, for the privilege of being here. Thank You for the gift of Thy Son, for the Gospel. We pray, Father, that we might put to use those things brought to us this day in our lives. We pray, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit would guide and direct each one of us, to guide us and direct us in the things that we do, that we say. Help us to be good witnesses to others. We pray, Father, for those unable to be here this day. We ask that Thy Spirit would bless each and every one of them. We pray for the work of the gospel, that each of us might always look for opportunities to be of service to Thee and to be of service to our brothers and sisters. We pray, Father, for the speaker of the hour, that You would bless him, give him freedom of thought and of speech. And we pray, Father, that each one of us might be attentive listeners. We pray, Father, for the many who are sick and afflicted, those who have asked for an interest in our prayers. We pray for the missionary work, Father. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Yucatan, for the work on the Indian missions throughout the areas of the world. We pray, Father, that we might have opportunities there, that we can share this beautiful gospel story that we know and that we love so well. We pray, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit would rest upon each one of us, that You would forgive us of our mistakes and our shortcomings. These things I would pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll use number 146 for our second number. Number 146.
Surrender, stand, we are, live and move with Thee.
Scripture reading he'd like to give to us.
Alma, ninth chapter, the 47th through the 60th verse. And after God had appointed that these things should come unto man, behold, then he saw that it was expedient that man should know concerning the things whereof he had appointed unto them. Therefore he sent angels to converse with them, who caused men to behold of his glory. And they began from that time forth to call on his name. Therefore God conversed with men, and made known unto them the plan of redemption, which had been prepared from the foundation of the world. And this he made known unto them according to their faith and repentance, and their holy works. Wherefore he gave commandments unto men, they having first transgressed the first commandments, as to things which were temporal, and becoming as gods, knowing good from evil, placing themselves in a state to act, or being placed in a state to act according to their wills and pleasures, whether to do evil or to do good. Therefore, God gave unto them commandments, after having made known unto them the plan of redemption, that they should not do evil, the penalty thereof being a second death, which was an everlasting death, to things pertaining unto righteousness. For on such the plan of redemption could have no power, for the works of justice could not be destroyed, according to the supreme goodness of God. But God did call on men in the name of his Son, this being the plan of redemption which was laid, saying, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, then will I have mercy upon you through my only begotten Son. Therefore, whosoever repenteth and harden not his heart, he shall have claim on mercy through mine only begotten Son, whereunto a remission of his sins, and there shall enter into my rest. And whosoever will harden his heart and will do iniquity, behold, I swear in my wrath that he shall not enter into my rest. And now, my brethren, behold, I say unto you that if ye will harden your hearts, ye shall not enter into the rest of the Lord. Therefore, your iniquity provoketh him, that he sendeth down his wrath upon you as in the first provocation. Yea, according to his word, the last provocation, as well as the first, to the everlasting destruction of your souls. Therefore, according to his word, unto the last death, as well as the first. And now, my brethren, seeing we know these things, and now, my brethren, knowing, seeing that we know these things, and now, my sisters, seeing that we know these things, let us repent. Harden not our hearts, that we provoke not the Lord our God to pull down his wrath upon these his second commandments, which he hath given unto us. And I pray this day that God will preach his sermon, that we may grow in strength and be the builders and the servants of most high.
Now we have a special at this time. like to introduce a good friend of mine, Mr. Bob Oldham.
I was a fan.
Over in Northern Europe, when we visit over there, on all their pulpits over there, they have a little hourglass thing here they can turn over when the preacher starts, but I don't see one here, so I guess we're at Bob's mercy. So if you would, give him your kind attention.
You bet, but there is a glass down here with water in it, you know it.
I do feel it a pleasure to be here, and I'm thankful that our brother asked that I participate in this reunion, whether it be through preaching, through the songs, through the prayer and testimony services. Colorado is special. Our brothers and sisters are here, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same, whether we look to the East Independence Local, to Phoenix, to Grand Junction, Nebraska, wherever. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the same. There was a show one time that I saw, and this show was about a mining, you know, during the gold rush. And this miner had his cabin right on the river or lake or whatever they called it. And every morning, right out in front of his hut, there was this monstrous rock. I mean, this booger was so big, they had hooked teams of horses up to it and tried to pull that rock off. Because that miner knew. He knew that there were nuggets of gold as big as your fist. And they tried with teams of horses, and those horses could not budge that rock. They tried 15 to 20 miners, and they all got around this rock, and they tried to move this rock because that miner knew that there were nuggets as big as your fist. And they didn't budge that rock. And every morning, when that miner would get up at old dark 100 hours to go to work his claim, he'd stop at that rock, and he'd pound on that rock, and then he'd pound over here, and then he'd take his hammer, and he'd pound over here, and he'd pound over here, and that rock never moved. And he'd get off, he'd go to his claim, he'd work that claim. He'd come back at night, boy, and he'd get that old hammer out. Before he'd even start his chores or eat his dinner, he'd pound on that rock there, pound that rock over there. He'd come up here and pound. Finally, the people, after months and months of this, the people said, "Look, we're going to do you a favor. We're going to kill you if you keep beating on that stupid rock." And he said, "I know that there are nuggets as big as your fist under that rock." And he went up there, and he would, every morning, he'd knock on that side, and he'd knock over here, and then he'd knock over here, and he'd knock here, and he'd go off to his claim, and he'd come back at night, and he said, "Look, we're serious. We're going to do you bodily harm if you continue to pound on that rock every morning before we have to get up and every night when we're trying to go to bed." And he really had a dilemma because they were serious. And that morning he went out there. He pounded on that rock. He pounded on that rock. And he pounded on that rock. He went off and he worked his claim. And all day he worried and he fretted. What do I do when I get back tonight? He knew those nuggets were as big as his fist. And the call of that gold just lying under that rock calling him. He went back in that night and he pounded on that rock. He pounded on that rock and he looked around and he saw the people looking out their windows. And he pounded on that rock. And he hit that rock in the center and it fell apart. And instead of nuggets as big as your fist, there were nuggets as big as both hands put together. What is faith? Confident expectation that our Savior lives and reaches out his hand to his children and says, "Knowing that you know, come unto me and I will give you rest." There was a situation very similar to that. If we go to 3 Nephi, first chapter. Very similar to that pounding on that rock. Starting with the fourth verse. "And it came to pass," page 600. "And it came to pass that in the commencement of the 92nd year, behold, the prophecies of the prophets began to be fulfilled more fully. For there began to be greater signs and greater miracles wrought among the people, But there were some who began to say that the time was past for the words to be fulfilled, which were spoken by Samuel the Lamanite. And they began to rejoice over their brethren, saying, Behold, the time is past, and the words of Samuel are not fulfilled. Therefore, your joy and your faith concerning this thing hath been vain. And it came to pass that they did make a great uproar throughout the land, and the people who believed began to be very sorrowful, lest by any means those things which had been spoken might not come to pass. But behold, they did watch steadfastly for that day and that night and that day, which should be as one day, as if there were no night, that they might know that their faith, their confident expectation, had not been in vain. Now it came to pass that there was a day set apart by the unbelievers that all those who believed in the traditions should be put to death, except the signs should come to pass, which had been given by Samuel the prophet. Now it came to pass that when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw this wickedness of his people, his heart was exceedingly sorrowful. And it came to pass that he went out and bowed himself down upon the earth and cried mightily unto his God in behalf of his people, yea, those who were about to be destroyed because of their faith, that confident expectation in the traditions of their fathers. And it came to pass that he cried mightily unto the Lord all that day, and behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, Lift up your head and be of good cheer, for behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given. And on the morrow come I into the world to show unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my prophets. Behold, I come unto mine own to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world, and to do the will both of the Father and of the Son, and of the Father because of me, and of the Son because of my flesh. And behold, the time is at hand, and this night shall the sign be given. And it came to pass that the words which had come unto Nephi were fulfilled, according as they had been spoken. I'd like to ask you to indulge yourselves with me. If we can get our sister to play the piano for me. I want you all, you're almost to go to sleep. You might as well do it. I mean, I didn't make the promise like Lessa did yesterday, 45 minutes. I told Carol before I came up here, out of 4 hour and 45 minutes or not a minute. Probably not an hour and 45 minutes. But honestly, would you turn to page 321? And I'd like to sing the first two verses of 321. But as we sing it, I'd really ask you, put your whole heart into singing 321. As you put your whole heart into it, put your minds upon the words. Put your minds upon the words that our Savior has penned and left for our edification. Even the church, the body of the church, as was spoken by the previous ministry. 321, the first two verses.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well. It is well stay and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul.
Fifth chapter, the 8th through the 13th verses says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. For my ways are not your ways." What I'd like to talk with you about, what I'd like to be given the authority and the strength from Jesus Christ, for I don't think we can stand behind this sacred desk and preach unless He allows us to, even as He talks, Paul speaks of in his writings, is contained in the first book of Ether. Page 717. The promise of this land. Page 717, starting with the 31st and reading through the 35th verse. And I'm sure you've all read this hundreds of times. "And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of His wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of His wrath come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is the land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it, it shall serve God, or else shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decree," the everlasting decree of God, "and it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness comes, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage." The same bondage Paul spoke of in his writings, the bondage of the pressures and the trauma of Satan that would bind him down and take him away from Jesus Christ. "Be freed from the bondage and captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written." 33rd verse, "And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off." The problem that we as a people fall into, I think, is the problem that Adam and Eve experienced in the Garden of Eden. Nobody here, I think, I'm assuming, could in any way fault or point the fickle finger of fate at Eve. Because in the same situation, probably, being honest, knowing that we know, brother,
knowing that we know, sisters, we would have done a similar situation as Eve did, and probably done the very equivalent thing when God confronted it and said, it was the snake that you made that made me do it. And when Adam was in the quiet of the garden, and God came down and walked about, and he called out for Adam, and he said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I hid myself. He said, why did you hid yourself? He said, because I was naked, and I was ashamed. Remember in the Book of Mormon, it says, be not ashamed of your God. But Adam was ashamed of that creation that God had made for him. And as God walked in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden, he called after his creation, and his creation hid himself. We're not so different than that. Not really. Not when you consider that before us lies the greatest opportunity available, and nothing can thwart his word. He said that his ways are superior to our ways, if we can but submit ourselves to his ways. Does that mean we're all doomed and lost and going to hell? No, I don't think so. I think that he has a unique people in his grasp. And I think we here at the Colorado Reunion 1992 represent a good portion of that unique people that he's calling out for. But are we safe? Do we have it made? No, because we're not doing the work that he's given us to do. And it is time that we be about our Father's work. We are too much like Adam and Eve. And we allow the pressures and the traumas of this world to bind us down. And we allow ourselves not to live to the full expectation of God's plan, but rather to be acceptable to the crumbs that fall from the table. We're not a bunch of jerks. We're not a bunch of heathens. But brothers and sisters, I challenge any of you to, when the problems and the turmoil and the pressures of this world come upon us, to be able to stand and without reservation say, when peace like a river availeth my soul. I don't think we can do it yet. But there will come a time when we will have to, and it will be because we are dependent upon the promise in ether, some 2,200 years before the birth of Christ, that we will take courage, that Christ said, it is so, and we will depend and accept it without reservation. And problems and turmoils will keep us from coming together at Colorado reunions and Missouri reunions. But we will overcome those things because it will be our heart-driven desire to come together and bask in the glorious light of our Savior. You see, we're subject to the 10th chapter of John. Go with me if you would. 10th chapter of John. Jesus speaking, the first through the fifth verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I challenge anyone to show me someone in the church of Jesus Christ, in his, the church of the Lamb, that will be able to enter into that rest without qualifying and coming in with a repentant heart. You can be converted. We can be converted from now to eternity. Frank and I and Marvin were just having a conversation out front about people that are converted and brought into the church of Christ. But I challenge you. I challenge you. When they fall away within a year, when they fall away within 6 months, when they try to bring their own precepts and understandings of the Scriptures into Christ's structure, I challenge you to know that they are not only converted but convicted to the full and living gospel of Jesus Christ. The miner, he not only pounded here and here, but with faith believing, he knew those nuggets of gold were deep under that rock. With confident expectation, he returned that day looking at death. And he knocked one last time. Nephi, the son of Nephi, went to the woods. He didn't go and try to debate with the people of that time. He didn't go and try to make them understand, look guys, Samuel the Lamanite just did what he was supposed to do. He came and proclaimed the gospel. Elijah, all of the prophets, they came to proclaim a coming Savior. He went to the source. And the source said, be at peace, for tonight the signs will come. And sure enough, at the time of the going down of the sun didn't go down. And the next day, our Savior came into the room. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for our souls. At that point, it will be well with our souls. For we will not follow the voice of a stranger.
I had a conversation with someone that I hold of great respect. And this person, we were talking many, many, many years ago, a number of years ago, I don't know if it was many, many, but this person said, you know, I wonder if Jesus Christ himself came to one of our prayer and testimonial services, one of our communion services, and spoke, thus saith the Spirit, if we would accept it. And you know, sometimes I think we fall into that category. We become so concerned about warding off that evil spirit that we try to take the task right out of our Savior's hands. We must pray, as it says in John. We must seek the verification of every spirit. And I support that point. But there is a time when we must move out in faith and say, just like in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, just like in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We all know this experience is when Abraham was tried. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering. We all remember the story of Abraham and Sarah in their age, and they were given that greatest gift, that son. The Jewish woman that did not have a child, a male child, she was less than a woman in their tradition. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and told two of his young men, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I.
here am I. He recognized his Savior's voice. He recognized the voice of authority. But I wonder how he recognized it. If we go over to Genesis, the 46th chapter, start with the first verse. We see a time when Jacob had lost his sweet son, Joseph, because his other son's jealousy had sold him into bondage. And they were starving to death in pretty tough times. And he sent his sons down to Egypt, and Joseph recognized his brothers. And he kept his precious son Benjamin then and sent him back and said, bring him down. Bring your father down. Now, if you go back to, go forward into Kings and Samuel, you find that the children of Israel were counseled not to intertwine themselves with the Egyptians. They were told to keep themselves separate. And so Jacob is very concerned here. The 46th chapter, he said, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and their wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed. And when God spoke to him, he said, here am I. Here am I. Moses, who had a speech impediment, and was spoken that he did not want to be used by God. He said, use somebody else. In fact, he says, me. But if we go over to Exodus, the second chapter, the 23rd through the balance of the chapter. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel. And this, of course, is why Jacob was so concerned about going down. Sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cries came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to, here's hoping, Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Here am I. If we go back to Acts, the 9th chapter, we find Saul spitting out, breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What are the odds of someone who had just been breathing out threatenings of slaughtering these people that were professing this Christ, saying, okay, you want me to arise and go into the city and wait there and be told something? Okay. What are honestly the chances of that happening? Better than that, go down to the 10th verse and let's see what the chances of Ananias, who had heard of Paul, saw. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, like his brothers of old, here am I. Helaman, the 5th chapter. Helaman, the 5th chapter, the 2nd verse. Of course, we all know this, the prophecy of Samuel, the Lamanite. And it came to pass that in the year, this year there was one Samuel, a Lamanite, came into the land of Zarahemla and began to preach unto the people. So he went in there the first time, as we all know. That's common knowledge. We accept that. There's no challenge to that. And it came to pass that he did preach many days repentance unto the people, and they did cast him out, and he was about to return into his land. But behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, that he should return again and prophesy unto the people whatsoever things should come into his heart. And it came to pass that they would not suffer that he should enter into the city. Therefore he went and got upon the wall thereof, and stretched forth his hand, and cried with a loud voice, and prophesied unto the people whatsoever things the Lord put into his heart. My sheep know my voice, and will not follow a stranger. And he said unto them, behold, I, Samuel, a Lamanite, do speak the words of the Lord, which he doth put into my heart. And behold, he hath put it into my heart to say unto you, this people, that the sword of justice hangeth over this people. Remember back here in Ether, when it said, and the fullness of his wrath come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God or be swept off. For it is the everlasting decree of God. Approximately 2,200, 2,000 years before Christ. This was about 6 years approximately before Christ. Yea, heavy destruction awaiteth this people, and it surely cometh unto this people, and nothing can save this people, save it be repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read earlier, where in fact Nephi, the son of Nephi, went into the field because the children of God were to be killed. And he prayed that the signs might come about, and the signs were fulfilled that night. He said, here am I, Lord. Here am I.
How do we get ourselves? How do we get ourselves into that frame of mind that we can hear and recognize the voice of our Savior? What gives us that special testimony within our heart that lets us know without reservation that our Savior calls us and beckons unto us? What puts us into the frame of mind that we can experience the trauma and the turmoil that is written of here in Psalm 321,
but yet know that it is well with our soul? This is not a conflict with the Scripture that says to be cautious of those that will say all is well in Zion. This is talking of a time when we are dependent upon a Savior. When we know and when we without question will realize that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. Let's sing the last two verses. Let's go back to 321.
Last two verses of 321.
Sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear.
Venus tells of Venus' testimony with finding his Savior. And I believe it's a perfect blueprint for you and I to come to a point of realization that it can be well with our souls. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in the language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestles which I had before God before I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, in the woods, which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life. And the joy of the saints sunk deep into my heart. And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto Him in a mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul, for mine own soul.
And all the day long did I cry unto him. Yea, when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that I reached the heavens, and he cried for his own soul. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. He recognized the voice of his Savior. Wherefore, my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast never before heard nor seen. About 1,700 years after the promise of this land was given. About 540 some years before the birth of Christ. And many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to, thy faith has made thee whole. Remember, he prayed all day long for mine own soul, for his own soul. Now, it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore, I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. I have given unto them this land, this promised land. And it is a holy land, and I curse it not, save it be for the cause of iniquity. Wherefore, I will visit thy brethren according as I have said, and their transgressions will I bring down with sorrow upon their own heads. And after I, Enos, had heard these words, my faith began to be unshaken in the Lord. And I prayed unto him with many long strugglings for my brethren, the Lamanites. And it came to pass that after I had prayed and labored with all diligence, the Lord said unto me, I will grant unto thee according to thy desires because of thy faith. And now behold, this was the desire which I had desired of him, that if it should be that my people, the Nephites, should fall into transgression and by any means be destroyed, and the Lamanites should not be destroyed, that the Lord God would preserve a record of my people, the Nephites, even if it so be by the power of his holy arm, that it might be brought forth at some future day unto the Lamanites, that perhaps they might be brought unto salvation. Over here he cried all day long for his own soul. And here he cried further for the salvation of all of his brothers. If you go over to the 12th chapter of Alma, the four sons of Messiah, who we know went out and preached to the Lamanites, it said that they were men of sound understanding. They searched the scriptures diligently that they might know the word of God. Not the word of whomever, the word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority. And what did they teach? The same thing that Brother Ely interpreted from the tongues that he spoke of in the service this morning. That the children of God must come out of Babylon and must cleanse themselves. That's what they preached with authority, was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Even as with the power and authority of God. My normal style is to tell more stories, try to explain the scriptures, but I can't explain these scriptures any better. And I challenge any of you to interpret the scriptures of Jesus Christ that he has protected and maintained and kept for us any better than he has done himself. But it is dependent upon us to put ourselves in such a state of mind that we can literally understand them. And when he speaks, brothers and sisters, As we found Moses, as we found Abraham, as we found all of our brothers, Saul becoming Paul, as Samuel, we can say without reservation, here am I. Here am I. When we can honestly
without reservation, sing 321. And without reservation, say, it is well with my soul, no matter what may befall me. And as Joel said last night, I'm not putting myself up before you. My prayer in preparation for this sermon was that I and we may learn and profit from this time that we'll spend together. That we as a people may become a stronger people. And so I'm not setting myself apart by any stretch of the imagination. I wouldn't wait, my nature, I wouldn't wait for the other miners to tell me to knock off hitting that rock. After about the seventh or eighth day, I would have probably said, those nuggets could be big as buckets of water. It ain't going to work, no way, no how. But confident expectation requires us to keep working forward and to make ourselves available and to say, here am I. In closing, I'd like to read you probably, no, it's not probably, Without Reservation. It's my favorite poem. One night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes for my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and the other to my Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before us, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. I said, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in times when I needed you the most, you should leave me. And the Lord replied, my precious, precious child. I love you, and I would never leave you during... Excuse me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child. I love you, and I would never leave you during your times of... This is really a problem. Trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was because I carried you. What else can I say? Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. We'll use 226 for our closing number. Supper will be at 5:30 this evening. Song service at 7 and preaching at 8 o'clock with our brother Frank Fann. Number 226.
With joy we remember the dawn.
Would you bow your heads with me? Our dear Father, we thank you once again for thy Spirit, the portion of thy Spirit that was here to be with us and to bless us. We thank you for those words that were brought before us this day, Father. We pray that we might remember those words, put them to use in our lives. We pray that it might be well with our soul, Father, that we would have thy Spirit to help us to rid our lives of those things that are not pleasing to thee, that we might always strive to walk closer to thee. Be with us till we meet again. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.